yesterday we were praying for Jessica's daughter Kimmy, and Kimmy's new daughter Penelope. They had been in the hospital for 7 days. They did get released yesterday. Yay.
All right.
Thank you,
God.
Jesus. Amanda's daughter, who will be going out of the country in May. Amelia, Sean, and Rachel Putman, who were in a bad car wreck Friday night, both are at OU with internal injuries. And then continue to believe with Joe and Neva for Joe's complete healing.
Amen. That we are. Absolutely. And somebody might say, well, it might not be God's will to heal Joe. Well, can you find that in the Word? Because I can't find it.
Mine says he came to give us life and life to the full, and I think that includes physically.
There you go.
John 10:10.
And, you know, we got hundreds of examples in the Word where someone received their healing because they came to Jesus in humility, asking him for it, and every single time he healed them. So it's just not logical for us to believe that it's God's will for someone not to be healed. I believe we have a mandate from Scripture to always believe God for the good. And somebody says, well, what if you're believing God for good things and it don't work out the way you believe it would, like concerning healing? Well, I guess you're just going to be with Jesus forever. I mean, it's just so terrible.
Right.
It's like, you know, you can't lose when you trust God. And that's the bottom line. You got to trust God. So we're going to trust God in these things. Well, Father, first of all, we want to come before you and give you praise and thanks, Lord God, for the praise report of people getting out of the hospital after a whole week in there. I know it's just such a relief to them. And Father, we're thankful for every victory that you're giving people, Lord God. I could go on and on and on about some of those. Father, one of our prayer requests today is for those that have been hurt in a car wreck, Lord God, and they're OU Medical with internal injuries, Father. I just want to say this. I know that you are the God who meets people in their time of crisis and need, and you're always with us. I pray that you draw near and close to them. You speak to their hearts. You lead their medical staff, Father, to treat them in any way that you see they need it. And we ask you to do what man cannot do, Lord God, work on the spirit, the mind, and the body. And we entrust that to you. Father, I give you praise right now as I think about people in bad car wrecks. But Marisa had recovered to the point, Lord God, that she was able to join us in church Sunday. And Lord, we would ask you as a family of believers to continue to have your hand upon her, that a double vision would leave her. And Father, any complications she or these that we're praying for might have would just subside. I ask you, Jesus, to glorify the Father by laying your hand upon them. Upon Joe, upon Neva. And Father, we pray, Lord, for Larry as he goes to the doctor, Lord God, with a serious concern. We know that you're already aware. And I pray, Lord God, that Larry would hear and receive that word from you that brings faith in his heart and life. And Father, I pray for Loretta, Lord God, and this procedure, Lord God, to remove the stone and from her pancreas. We ask, Lord God, that you would be involved in that process and that you would glorify your name, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord God, for those who are getting their lives together, Lord God, some that have recovered from addictions, Lord God, maybe going through programs. And Father, we pray that in every step of their process, that their faith and their trust and hope in you would grow more and more, that their minds be renewed, their thinking be changed in Jesus' name. Mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
One more prayer request, actually. I want to pray, Father, for those that you have placed little ones in their womb. And, Father, I just reminded of your word that says you knit us together in the womb of our mother. And, Father, I believe this with every fiber of my being. You never drop a stitch. Father, I speak life over every little one that's being formed in the womb of their mother right now. I'm thinking of a couple of people. I'll let them remain nameless for our purposes. But, Lord, you know who they are, where they are, and what's going on. And, God, we decree life and we decree shalom, peace over these little ones. That means nothing missing, nothing broken, everything as it should be. And we give you thanks for that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
The Refuge Church is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. Sunday school starts at 10, Sunday worship 10:45, Sunday evening prayer is at 5, Sunday evening Bible study at 6, Wednesday Bible study is at 7, Wednesday youth group is at 7. If you have any other questions, you can contact Pastor Tammy Bailey at 580-729-0956.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. The quality of life is not based on the ups and downs, but what you gain in these times. There's always something good in every situation. I know this can be hard to understand with all the bumps and bruises we encounter. It's not what happens that matters. It's what did you receive through that encounter. Encounters can knock you down or lift you up. The decision is yours.
Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525. A company that cares.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. His title is Ears to Hear.
Ears to Hear.
Before you get started, would you like to share any announcements you have, your church service times and location?
Yeah, I can do that. Of course, we live in Waters Church in Burns Flat. We're located by the football field there in Burns Flat at 109 West Webb Street. And every Sunday morning, we have church services start 10 a.m. We usually get out right at 12 or pretty close to it. And we have Wednesday night worship time and Bible study starts at 7, ends at 8:30. So Wednesday evenings today, if you're listening to me live this evening at 7 p.m. And, of course, everyone's welcome to come and join us. If you like the way I teach the word here on the Hour of Power, you're going to love it there. And come join us. We'd love to have you. We'll love on you and give you a home. So you're welcome to come see us.
All right, I'm ready.
You ready?
Ready.
So we're talking about ears to hear, which Jesus said multiple times. Let him who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. In other words, choose to hear it. Don't tune it out. If it's not what you like, listen, I've been there, man. I have been there, where I go to the Lord, and I go with an open and sincere heart. You know, I'm thinking he's going to tell me this and pat me on my head and tell me I'm going the right direction and have him. God doesn't condemn. He'll never condemn you, but if he's not course correcting you, there's something wrong in your relationship. Because I doubt you've got it all figured out and you do everything perfect. I have to get course corrected throughout my walk with the Lord. And I love it that way. I want him to correct me. Anytime I need correction, I welcome it from the Lord. I don't welcome it from other people because, man, people correct you. You know, sometimes it feels like they're doing it and they're just condemning you and they're just belittling you. But when God corrects you, I never, ever feel condemned or belittled. I always feel like he's actually delivered me from something, you know. And I love it when God corrects me, and he does. And so we want to welcome God's correction in thinking of it this way. It's not really, it's not a stamp of disapproval. It's actually a stamp of approval. The Bible says that if he doesn't chasten you, then you're not his child. So if you are his child, he's going to teach you how to walk and where to walk and when to walk, and he's going to correct things in your life that need to be corrected. And so sometimes Jesus had to do that. So in John chapter 8, we were in John 5 a while ago, where Jesus said, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. He said, I only do it. He said, a son can do nothing of himself. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If Jesus couldn't make things happen just because he wanted them to happen and he's Jesus, I'm pretty sure I can't make them happen either. Unless by some form of manipulation, I cause things to happen my own self. Like, think back on, and I mentioned my car that I named Ishmael, you know. And the reason why that works, if you didn't know the Bible, you'd go, I don't understand that. Why would you name a car Ishmael? You know, because Abraham was given a promise from God that God, he was going to bear seed, and through that seed the whole earth would be blessed. And he and his wife, I mean, bless their hearts, they tried and they waited and they tried and they waited and they tried and they waited. And I don't know exactly what was hindering the process. God was just, I suppose, waiting for them to get in the right place. But along the way, they got tired of waiting and frustrated, and his wife felt like she was not good because it was Sarah's womb that was closed. And so she's like, here, it's our custom. It's not against the law, and it's not a crime or sin in our culture. Here, take my handmaiden, my servant. You lay with her like she was your wife. And when she gets pregnant, conceives a baby, according to their customs, that baby would be attributed to the family lineage, and so Abraham would then have an heir. Listen, no part of Sarah giving Hagar to Abraham to lay with and to conceive a child with, no part of that was instigated by God. Mm-mm. At no point did God tell them to do that. Now, and listen, and they didn't go ask God about, you know, what to do about it. Later on, when Ishmael was older and the child of promise had actually come along, Isaac, there became family conflict in there, and Sarah comes to Abraham then and says, you need to get rid of her and that other child because they're causing problems. You need to get rid of them. And Abraham, hey, he loves his own flesh and blood, you know, and he might have even had a wang for Hagar. I mean, you know, after all, he's a man, mm-hmm. You know, and she conceived a baby with him, so you can't tell me there wasn't a connection because there's always a connection. And he don't want to send them away. But to his credit, you know what he does? He goes and inquires of the Lord. He doesn't want to send them away. He goes and inquires of the Lord. And the Lord tells him, listen to your wife Sarah and send them away. I'm like, whoa. But to his credit, he does it. If he would have inquired of the Lord in the first place, he wouldn't have had to deal with that. And guess why there's so much conflict in the Middle East right now today? Because the descendants of Ishmael are warring against the descendants of Isaac. Mm-hmm. Is that God's will? I don't think so. There would have always been somebody warring against somebody. That's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But what the whole Middle East is a family quarrel, honestly. And it's a divided family. But anyway, I digress. But Ishmael is not here because God told them to do what they did. That car I named Ishmael, God did not tell me to do what I did to acquire that car. And because I did it on my own, I faced the consequences of it, and it was not a blessing. I'm just going to put it, was not a blessing. The payments weren't a blessing. The repairs weren't a blessing. Nothing about it was a blessing. It was not a blessing. The only blessing about it at all is that I can tell you now on this side of it that I learned a good lesson. Mm-hmm. That's all I can tell you about that. And so we don't want those. We got enough things to have to overcome in life without making our own problems by doing our own thing without God sanctioning it. Now, here's where the problem lies. Both you and I, whoever you are, if you're a believer in Jesus, you can convince yourself that God has sanctioned something that God has not sanctioned. Because you can talk yourself into believing that it must be his will. Mm-hmm. And you can find all kind of scriptures and everything else because you go at it looking for it. It's like, I've already decided what God's said or going to say to me. Now I'm going to go prove it. I've done it. I've watched others do it. That's not where faith comes from. Faith comes by God initiates. He speaks. we respond and treat what he said as if it's the truth and just do what he says. So in John 8, Jesus was talking about himself being the Messiah, talking about his relationship with the Father. Verse 27, John 8, 27, they didn't understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, that's a title for the Messiah, so he lifted up, they knew that meant crucified. They didn't get it all, but they're like, what? Messiah's going to live forever. How can you say the Son of Man be lifted up? He said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I am the one I claim to be. I do nothing on my own. Did you get? Let's make sure we got that. Jesus said, I do nothing on my own. How many times you see Jesus pray for somebody and it didn't work? None. You want to know why? Because he never prayed for anybody that he wasn't told to. And let me, on that note, let me just almost bring correction to myself. Like healing, for example, in scriptures. I challenge you, go find me a place where Jesus prayed for someone to be healed. He never did. He did all his praying in the presence of the Father, then went out through the day, and when he came to the man who was lame, he had already seen in prayer with the Father that he was going to come to that man, and he knew what to do. And as he walked along his walk and encountered people with various different needs, he didn't heal every person he saw. He did heal every person that came to him. In Scripture, we see that. But there was one time a woman came to him. She's a Syrophoenician. She's a Gentile. Her daughter's demon-possessed. She comes, she goes, oh, my daughter needs your help. She's demon-possessed. And Jesus says, it's not fit to give the children's bread to the dogs. That sounds not only like a no, but it sounds pretty degrading. But it was a test. Jesus didn't do that because he was a hater. He didn't hate on her because she was not Jewish. He said that because Father God told him to say that. Father God told him to say that because it would provoke this woman to a response of pure humility. The woman said, she didn't say, how dare you call me a dog, you Jewish dog, you know, whatever, you rat, you know. They didn't get all racial on it. When Jesus said it's not right to take the children's bread that belongs to them and give it to their dog, he was basically giving her back some of what the Gentiles had given the Jews, but he was trying to provoke a response in her that would show forth her heart. And she said, but Lord, called him Lord, even the little dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, you don't get more humble than that kind of a response. And Jesus looked at her and said, for this answer, you may go. Your daughter is made whole. And she found, boom, it happened. Jesus did all of that. He didn't do any of that by his own initiative. Everything he did and said, he was simply responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit in communication with Father God. I'm going to put myself in this right with you, but here's the deal. How come then when I say these things or I want these things or I pray these things that I don't always get what I'm praying and I don't get results like Jesus did? Because I don't start from the position that Jesus started from. Jesus always went to the Father to get the instruction, and then he only did what Father said, what the Holy Spirit led him to do. He didn't go around operating on his own and just praying and doing and whatever and saying whatever come into his mind because he wanted it or because there was a need or whatever. Jesus didn't, like the guy that got healed at the pool that prefaces this, what we're reading. Jesus went in there. There were multitudes of people laying around that pool. He only went in there to that one guy. And he asked that man, do you want to be healed? Why did he do that? Because the Father told him to go to that guy. Say these words. Do you want to be healed? The man did. The man goes, well, I can't get healed because everybody always beats me into the water. No. Jesus is like, I bet he rolled his eyes. Mm-hmm. You know? But Jesus looked at a lame man and said to a lame man, I tell you, take up your mat and walk. In other words, you ready for this one? The ball to believe God is always in your court. You're not waiting on God. God's waiting on you. But you say, well, God's waiting on me to what? I can't tell you that. You got to go get that from him. No human can tell you that. I have questions in my own life that I've got to go, if I want answers for them, I've got to go get with God until he reveals to me what he wants me to do.
Yes.
And then I operate under this premise too also. Am I doing what God has told me to do? Because, see, sometimes God tells us to do something, and we might start in on it a little bit, but then, and then we let it go, and then we're going along, and we're looking for another thing. Because that thing, I didn't really like that in the first place, and, you know, it didn't work. It's like exercise. I tried it once, and I didn't lose 20 pounds. You know, I dieted one day all the way from breakfast till supper, and it didn't change my waist size at all. I tried it. A lot of people give God a little touch of obedience, but they don't continue to fall through. So here's where I'm going with that. Can I honestly, with a clear conscience, say that I believe with every fiber of my being that I'm doing what the Lord has instructed me to do? And if you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, I believe with every fiber of my being I'm doing what God has told me to do. And I haven't added to it. I haven't taken away from it. With all of my heart, I'm doing my best I can to obey God. Then by all means, continue. Carry on. You see, but when will it happen? When it does. Mm-hmm. And not a minute before or a minute after. But you just carry on and find peace in the carrying on. And be able to say to yourself, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. And don't be, just because you didn't get the results that you wanted right now, don't be looking for, I need another word from God. I need somebody to prophesy to me. I'm going to go to the man, the woman of God, and ask, what do you got for me today? No, don't do that. Go to God, and then God will, if God needs to put a flesh and blood prophet or prophetess in your life to confirm it, he will. Mm-hmm. But when they prophesy to you, they're not going to bring you information. They're going to bring you inspiration to help you. Listen to me. The word says that prophecy is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort, not information. No one should ever prophesy into your life the will of God that you don't already know. If they start prophesying something to you and it takes you by surprise, if I was you, I'd back up a step or two. Take what they say. I'm not saying flush it. Take what they say and put it on a shelf. Put it up before God and go, God, is this something you're trying to say to me and I wasn't listening? But be careful with that, because more than likely they're going to prophesy something that you want to hear. And about half or more of the time that God actually speaks to us, it's not what we want to hear. Like, hey, your friend Lazarus is sick and he's at the point of death, and the Holy Spirit goes, stay put, son. Wait a couple of days. Let him die. And then you can go and raise him up, and the Father will be glorified. Here's how much information Jesus got, though. He goes, but from that point on, they're going to try with every fiber of their being to kill you. And they're also going to want to kill your friend Lazarus because you raised him from the dead. But this is the Father's will, so go do it. Everybody think it's easy for Jesus to do the will of the Father? No. He had to stay completely submitted and surrendered all the time. Because if you got the power to heal and you're the one in control of it, why would you walk into a pool with a multitude of sick people and only heal one person? Wouldn't it be right to heal them all? You say, well, I read on the other place the whole multitude came and he healed them all. Me too. But not every time. But every time they asked, you can't find a place where they ask. And he said, no, later, not for you. He didn't do that. So I don't put no faith in that kind of stuff. I base my faith on the written word of God and the rhema word of God. So here in the passage, we could make a series out of this, by the way. I think when I come back a couple weeks, Lord willing that I do come back, I believe he is, we'll continue this. But for today, let me say this. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, I do nothing on my own. This is John 8 in verse 28. Middle of the verse, I do nothing on my own. I think you know what I ought to do today? We all ought to do. We're to go, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. I want to do nothing on my own. I want to do my absolute best to just go do whatever Father God leads me to do through the Holy Spirit today. So do what the Father says. He said, I do nothing on my own. I speak just what the Father taught me. when did the Father teach him? Well, when he was alone with him. Jesus was always going and getting alone. He said, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. You know, if we're being honest, we'd be like, I always do what pleases me. And I hope it pleases him. I always ask him to be pleased with what I want to do. Yes, that's it. Hallelujah. I always ask God to be pleased with what I want to do. Yes, sir. I'm continually coming up with plans and seeking him to bless them. Maybe I could live a little more like Jesus if I went to him and said, what's your plan, sir? Because I can ask you to bless mine, and if mine are in line with your will, then you certainly will bless my plans, because you... The only reason I came up with this is because you inspired me. But it would be far better if I just took the shortcut and went to you and got the plan that's already blessed. Instead of using my being, my mind, my own understanding to try to conjure up and think of how it could happen, how to get it to happen, why don't I just come back to the Father and say, whatever you want to do, here I am. I lay it all down before you. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in my life. You know the context. I mean, and you know, Jesus praying in the garden, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. That's him expressing his will. I don't want to go to the cross. I'm not looking forward to this agony. So if there's any other way we can get this done, let's do it the other way. And then there's a pause, and then he comes back and says, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He prayed that prayer. The prayer goes like this. Father, if there's any other way, let this cup of suffering pass from me. But if not, then thy will be done on earth. You know, let your will be done instead of mine. And the Bible's real clear that it took him an hour to pray that. Go read it. It took him an hour to pray that. He comes back to the disciples, they're asleep. He goes, can you not pray with me 1 hour? He went over there. He fell on his face. He did it several times. And each time it was an hour. It was an hour that he took in agonizing, surrendering himself to that so that he would pay the price for me and you, because it was that difficult. It was that hard. Jesus was without sin, but he was tempted in every way, even as we are tempted. Scripture's clear about that. So if you think it was easy for Jesus to give up his life and go die on the cross, you just are wrong. It was just as hard for him as it would be for you. And looking around, did he see like, hey, this whole thing's going to work great? I mean, after all, everybody loves me. Everybody believes in me. No. For the most part, they rejected him. And even his own followers, one of them had just betrayed him. But the Bible says that for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. So what did he have his eyes on? He had his eyes on what the Father had shown him was going to happen. You know what he had his eyes on? He had his eyes on me and you. He saw us in the future, and all the other millions and millions of followers, he saw us believing in him and loving him and trusting in him, and that made it all worthwhile for him. Let me finish. We're almost out of time, I know. So Jesus said, I always do what pleases him. And as he spoke, many put their faith in him. And to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this. Now watch this. To the Jews who believed him, he said this. I'm going to quote King James. Continue in my word, and you will be my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What happens if you don't continue in his word? Then you don't become a disciple. You're just a person who made a statement of faith like they did. But you don't actually become a student. And when you don't actually learn his ways of living, you don't walk in the freedom that he brings. And so he said, if you know the truth, if you continue in the word, then you're going to know the truth, and the truth you know is going to set you free. And they got ticked off at that statement. Look at it. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say we'll be set free? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. There you go. Hello. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. They did not like that. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's descendants, and yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room in, for my word. Like, say what? Who did he say that to? Correct me. I'm not wrong, so don't correct me. To the Jews who believed him, he said these things. And it's a continuing deal. So they went from, I believe who you are who you say you are. And he goes, if you really believe it, then you're going to continue in my word. And as you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples. Mm-hmm. And then as my disciples, you'll come into more and more and more freedom in the Lord. And they said, well, we're already free. Well, he said, if you were free, you wouldn't ever sin. They're like, what? We're children of Abraham. He goes, I know where you come from. And then he continues on. And he said in verse 38, I'm telling you what I've seen in my father's presence, and you do what you heard from your father. Watch where this goes, and remember that he's saying it to people who claim they have faith in him. They said, Abraham is our father. They answered verse 39. He said, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. Verse 40, as it is, you're determined to kill me, a man who told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing these things because your own father does. And they replied, we are not illegitimate children. They protested, the only father we have is God himself. Now, if he claims that, they call it blasphemy. But now all of a sudden they claim it. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. That is the truth right there. If God is your father, you do love Jesus. He said, for I came from God, and now I am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear? Because you're unable to hear what I say. You're unable to hear it. You don't have ears for it. You're not willing to hear it. He told them, he told the Jews who had believed on him just a few verses ago, he said, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He's a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And yet, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Boom. Let's take that back to our topic today. Ears to hear. And it comes from Jesus' phrase in one place, Matthew 11:15. He who has ears, let him hear. And it all comes down to this. Why did those religious Jews of Jesus' day, why did they reject him? Why did they constantly battle against him instead of just saying, our Messiah has come. Look, he's right here. He fulfills all the scriptures. He fulfills Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. Look, it's him. He's here. A few of them did. A few, but for the most part, they didn't fit his mold. Let me say it to you this way, and I will close. The honest answer to why they had such a problem and why so many times, I'm going to step on my toes so hard, I'm going to be healing them the rest of the day. The honest answer to why so many times we have such issues with trusting and believing God and receiving what we believe God wants us to have, you ready for it? It's because we've been blinded by our own selfish ambition. Mm-hmm. I want what I want. I'm guilty sometimes. You probably are too. But we've got to get that out of the way. And we've got to start with going to God saying, I want to want what you want me to want. So I bring my want to you. And I do that very frequently starting my day. God, if I'm wanting anything you don't want me to have, please, Lord, I'm asking you, change my heart, change my mind about it. Cause me to see it like you see it. I don't want anything you don't want me to have, but Father, I want everything you do want me to have. So here I am, show me what you want me to want. I pray that way. And then I try to keep me out of the equation. I'm not saying I succeed all the time. But I try my best to keep me out of the equation because selfish ambition will blind you at the same way it blinded the Jews of Jesus' day. So, for him who has ears, let him hear. You say, how do I respond? Go get alone with God. Surrender yourself to him and ask him to change anything that you are believing that he wants it to be different. And tell him, Lord, I just want your will to be done. And then just submit yourself to that. And listen to what he has to say. Faith comes by listening, not by telling. Amen. Father, thank you today for your word. And I know that some of the things that I've said, they're hard. They're hard to take. I preach myself under conviction, Lord God. I pray you forgive us for the things that we've demanded of you that were not of you. And I pray, God, you'd lead us in the path that is straight and narrow and true. And show us, Lord God, what you'd have us to speak today and what you'd have us to believe today. We surrender it all to you. May your will be done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. For myself, Tina Dobbs, my sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, and Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.